Welcome back, everybody, to episode 104 of Off the Field Podcast. We post every single week, Thursday and Fridays. Thursday, you get the Spotify. Friday, you get the YouTube video. My co-host is...
Captain America from softball.
Who has a fresh haircut.
That's right.
Yes, everybody That's tells right. him he looks beautiful because we want him to stay fresh.
They told me I look sexy, and I was like blushing low-key. I don't know if I hit it well, but I hope I did. And I even got compliments at work.
Shaved the sideburns.
Yep. You know what's the funny thing? Today at work, two people came up to me, and they said, "Did you lose a bet?" I'm like, the first time I'm like, nah, I think it was just time.
Yeah.
Literally, like a couple hours later, a different coworker comes up and goes, "Oh, I didn't know it was you. Did you lose a bet?" I'm like, "You're the second person to ask me that today. Like, what's going on?" I'm like, "No, it was just time." Which, by the way, would have been a great video if we did that where I lose any.
Moving forward, are we maintaining the main?
I think so. We'll see. Obviously, we got to let it grow and see how far I can go before I think it's time again. But, yeah, I think like I said, I just get lazy. So, yeah, I just knew it was time. And it was just a spur of the moment thing at work on my break, too, which is funny.
Yeah,
I just thought it was time.
Well, speaking of somebody's time, the Dire Wolves, it's their time to rise again. Basically, big wolves that were extinct they've been brought back to life. After 10,000 years.
Only 10,000?
Only 10,000 years of not being on this earth. They're back. Some scientist pulled some sort of MacGyver in a lab and brought back an extinct species.
Oh, so it's lab created.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I thought they just took, found them in the
DNA
wild.
They took DNA of wolves and a common house dog and somehow made a dire wolf in 2025.
10,000 years. That's like a long time.
Yeah. No, it's a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, basically, they're just bigger wolves, like huge wolves. Apparently, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, they're the wolves that are in the show. So yeah, they're back on our planet. And we should discuss, if we could bring back one extinct species, what would it be?
I would go with a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I thought of a woolly mammoth.
I've heard they're actually trying.
I mean, if they are trying, I'm kind of scared if it actually does happen.
They can't be that monstrous.
You say that now.
They're not even predators, are they?
I don't know. That's the thing. I didn't do enough research, but I did look up that they are extinct.
Yes.
And their tusks are are one hell of an item that they have on their
body. They're like big, giant, warm, furry elephants.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're descendants.
Yeah. Gotta be.
So, yeah, I would bring back a woolly mammoth, and I'd love to see one at a circus.
I'd bring back a dodo bird.
A dodo bird. You know the thing on Phineas and Ferb?
They are on Phineas and Ferb.
It's on the intro.
It's also in the Up movie, Dodo Birds.
That's right, yeah. What was his name in the movie? Fred?
Oh, well, no. That's not the dodo. Oh, well, Kevin,
I Kevin, think. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think he's a dodo bird.
No.
Anyways, I think the dodo birds strictly went extinct because they were just stupid. I think they thought they could fly. They can't.
And then they found out the hard way.
Yeah, they found out the death way.
Yeah.
And from what I looked up, hunting. But I mean, who was hunting back then? Cavemen? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was because of their stupidity of thinking, hey, I can fly. But then they realized they have like a gut. And so when they try to jump off a cliff and soar, they meet their maker.
Yeah. Yeah, they... I think a dodo bird would be kind of fun to see.
It'd be funny.
Yeah.
That's why I'd want to see them back.
Yeah, that's a good one, a dodo bird.
We'd have, like, you know, zoos aren't the best thing ever to keep animals locked up.
No.
But I think in this case, we have to keep dodo birds locked up because they'll just go extinct all over again.
Exactly. We got to actually preserve them.
Yeah, yeah. Like a woolly mammoth will survive. But a dodo bird, you give them a week and they're probably extinct again.
Again, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but... how you said descendants of elephants, I'm pretty sure, because I've heard before the dire wolves, they're actually trying to bring back woolly mammoths. They'll probably use some sort of DNA and make an elephant the mother to a woolly mammoth. And maybe soon we'll have woolly mammoths roaming this earth again.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't go crazy like something you see in Jurassic Park.
Well, that's what everyone's saying with the dire wolf situation. They're like, oh, we're bringing back something that's not supposed to be back?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, exactly. So... Yeah, I would like to see woolly mammoths and a dodo bird together in the zoo just chilling.
I don't think we need to keep the woolly mammoths locked up. I think they could survive out there.
We got to maybe just
See how things what's going to be first. The worst threat to them, because they're going to live in a cold climate, like in Antarctica or something.
Yeah.
And what, like a polar bear? They're bigger than a polar bear.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. What I did see was the last traces of woolly mammoths lived were like off the coast of Siberia. So Siberia is another like cold area. Interesting. So
okay, that's like Russia, right?
Yeah, around there. Okay. Just I think just south of it.
Look at the last generation that somewhat knows their geography. Anything past us, we're doomed.
Exactly. Don't ask Ryan or Javi. Actually, Javi might know, but don't ask Ryan.
No
Kirsch. For those who don't
know. I saw, you know how on TikTok you can get like search comments and stuff? Somebody made a video and it was like, oh, ages 1 through 4, just like and then at 5 he's like and gains consciousness, which I feel like is the fact for most people. Like,
yeah, for me, for sure. Yeah, at age 5, I remember I just woke up and I just saw like a golden light.
So
like, first thing I remember.
The searched comment was footage of baby gaining consciousness. And then the top comment was not the search being footage of baby gaining consciousness. We're doomed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. Let us know in the comments. What animal would you like to see back on Earth? Maybe a dinosaur? Maybe a T-Rex? Just let's make Jurassic Park a real thing.
Oh, God.
And two sports now. I let off with the extinct animals because we always talk about sports, and we're going to be talking about sports for a long time. And so let's get the other non-sports stuff out of the way. So, Wayne Gretzky, 894 goals.
That is a feat.
Yes, which was broken by Alex Ovechkin, 895. And I'm not a big hockey fan. I enjoy watching it from time to time. I usually don't have it on TV. But, you know, I won't say no to going to a game or anything like that. And, you know, I'm tapped in when there's history and stuff. So he broke the record. And I'm seeing a lot of people saying, that's cool and all, but don't even matter because he's not even close to assist in Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, the points record is something that's really, really tough to beat. I don't know it off the top of my head, but the points, by the way, is a goals and assists. So yeah, the goals record, I mean, like I said, well, he just proved that it could be broken, but the assist is something that, you know, is you gotta pass it to somebody to, you know, get for them to get the goal, and then you gotta trust that guy to make it. So
yeah,
the assist record doesn't look like it's gonna be touched for at least for a while, but
I heard he's still and I'm not sure on all this, I think he has double the amount of Ovechkin.
Because isn't Gretzky's the point record like 3,000 something, I think?
I'll look right now. Let's see. Points leaders all time. Gretzky at number one. Some guy named Jaromir Jagr at number two.
We're not a hockey podcast either, so please excuse us if we mispronounce these names.
Ovechkin's number 11.
Yeah, he's got quite a way.
Yeah, well, he won't make that probably. How far is he behind? He's behind by like 300.
300, okay. Yeah. Probably not doable this season.
Wait, oh, that's games played.
Okay.
Oh, points, here we go. Okay, well, it would help if... If I click on one, will it highlight them? Okay, there we go. 1619 for Ovechkin and 2,857 for
like
Wayne
Gretzky. I think, like I said, it was close to 3,000 from what I recall.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, goals seem cool. It sounds like a fun stat.
Pretty hard to do, I heard, in hockey.
Yeah. It seems like a stat that most people would care about. But, you know, he broke the record. People were happy for like 5 minutes. And like everything in this world, they went negative right after that. And we're like, well, it doesn't matter because he's not even close to assist and points and all that. Can't y'all just be happy that, like, there's another hockey great?
Exactly. And I did see a clip of, like, an old interview when Gretzky did have the record. And he asked, the reporter asked him if he expects anybody to break in. He said, yeah. Records were meant to be broken. So it's bound to happen. And hopefully he stays alive enough to see it. And he was. So.
What's a record in your lifetime you're confident will not be broken?
Does it have to be any sport?
Any sport. Whatever sport you want. I got one already. I don't think LeBron's scoring record is going to be broken in my lifetime and for a few lifetimes.
LeBron's scoring record. Yeah, because if I recall, he did it in less amount of time.
Who's the number one? Have to play 20 seasons.
Yeah.
Healthy. Minimum.
Healthy. By the way, is that career points including
career?
Playoffs?
Including playoffs? I don't know.
It has to
but
be, I'm pretty sure.
Either way, he broke the number one record, and he still is adding on to it this year. And
every day is a record.
Yeah, and he's still going to play next year, probably the year after. So the fact that he's already broken it and he just has all these years to keep adding on to it, it's not getting broken in my lifetime. And I don't think it's getting broken in my son's lifetime, my grandson's. I think it's going to last a very long time.
Yeah. That one I do see is like one of those unbreakable records.
Mm-hmm.
One for me, I'm going to stick with baseball just because that's really the one that I really know well about records. Oh, man, there's two that are going back and forth in my head for sure.
I have one in my head, too.
Yeah, the games played.
Yeah, Cal Ripken. Nobody.
No. Uh-uh. Yeah, because you have to stay healthy.
Especially in this day and age with how much they need a rest day and all that. It's not getting broken in my lifetime or yours.
I think the current active leader is, Matt Olson.
Sounds right.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah, he's like, which is, crazy because he's nowhere near it, but he's the active leader. Another one I was thinking of is probably strikeouts, 5,000 strikeouts.
Who's that, Nolan?
Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
And then another one is career wins, Cy Young, 500.
Yeah.
500 something.
Nope.
So. But if I had to, but I would probably say the Cal Ripken Jr. one because you have to be healthy. You have to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's just a record that's going to be very tough to beat.
Another one I think could be broken. But I wouldn't be shocked if it doesn't get broken in my lifetime. It is reachable. But consecutive days with the home run, I think it's 8, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's...
By, like, Griffey and Mattingly and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that'll get broken in my... It has a good chance compared to those other ones.
Yeah.
But it's still hard. It's very hard.
Yeah, because didn't Trout get, like, 6 at one point?
Yeah, he got close. Yeah. Oh, another one. I can't believe we didn't talk about this one is the hit streak.
The
DiMaggio hit streak.
That one, that's basically 2 months in a row.
Getting a hit.
That one I feel like is easy just compared to those records.
Oh, yeah.
Because you look at someone like Luis Arraez or Bobby Witt Jr. who play well, usually throughout the year. So I feel like that one's easy compared to the other records.
Yeah. Like I'd say the first two you named are like never going to be broken. The hit streak has a shot, but it's very, very unlikely. And then the home run one I mentioned is like 70-40 or 30.
Yeah.
I forgot how to do math there for a second.
But yeah, the hit streak, like I said, that one's definitely easy. The home runs.
I mean, what's the closest you've seen in your lifetime?
Wasn't it?
I think me, it was
Jimmy Rollins with like 46, I think.
Either him or Dan Uggla. Dan Uggla got close.
And Jackie Bradley Jr. got to 40. If you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then again, like I said, look at Jackie Bradley Jr. Like, he's not in the league anymore. So yep. Career records, obviously the hardest, but
yeah,
the hits is like something you could do in a season.
Yeah. And these are all records that have amazing feats. And like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if a single one does not get broken in our lifetime. Going back to hockey. I know we got a little
off
on a different road there about
unbreakable
records.
We'll be back.
I went to a hockey game last night.
Did you now?
And it had to be one of the craziest experiences I've ever had at a hockey game. Mm-hmm. I've sat in the nosebleeds at hockey. I've sat in the middle section at hockey. I sat on the glass at hockey last night. And oh my God, what an experience. We sat behind the goal, on the glass, literally like your chair. And then the glass. It was insane. And we had a fight right in front of our seats. It was wild. We had a guy slam, literally in a vlog. There will be a video on my channel. You can watch it. It's epic. It's awesome. Go subscribe here and on my main channel. But in that video, I am, vlogging the game and everything. And I was like, I kind of want a video for my phone too. So I placed my phone on the glass. Like, I'm just like, let me leave it here for a second. Just to see if I can get something cool. And I literally have it right there. And probably 7 seconds later, two dudes go, boom! That was the one I posted on my story. And I was like, whoa, I can't believe I got that. That didn't take long at all.
Yeah.
And that was sick. And you get to see how much action goes on, trying to get a close goal. Like the Kraken, their first goal, it died right in front of the line. But two of the Kraken got behind the goalie and the guys went boop and just tapped it in. And up there, you wouldn't be able to tell that. And we're like, oh, look. And so That was amazing. I can only name like six hockey players.
Yeah.
A few more after last night. But I will never deny an opportunity to sit on the glass at a hockey game. I had been waiting for that day too. Tony Todd, he invited me, and it was all thanks to Melissa's Produce, Joe and Sharon. Love them. Great people. So they invited us all out, and I kept telling Tony, because he kept telling me, hey, we got to go to one of these Kings hockey games on the glass. And I'm like, Tony, that's your connection. As soon as you tell me, I will go.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell me we got to go. You tell me when we go. That I'm waiting for the call. And he finally called, and I was like, I'm there. I'm like, I'll drive to you right now, and we are going to make this game. And we made it plenty of time. We actually went in the exact same way where we met Big Boom AJ and all them.
Wow. Literally. Also that same hallway and yep. everything. That's cool.
So we went in where we went out last time.
Okay.
So I came down. I'm like, that hallway looks mighty familiar.
Where's that family room?
And I turned the corner. I'm like, hey, this is where we met the Costco guys. And then there's a club there. I didn't even know there was a club there because actually, I might be blanking. I think the press conference was in the club room. But it didn't click until just now because it looked like a press conference that day.
Yeah.
But then on a normal day when it's the Lakers, Kings, whoever, it's a club room, like, for the higher price tickets.
Right.
And I just put it together. It was.
Wow.
So, they had, sushi, pizza, all included in your ticket. What else? All the candy you could grab, ice cream, all kinds of amazing food. It was so cool. And I hope I get to go back one day with Joe, Sharon, Tony. And I love every opportunity they give me. Thank you very much. But yeah, since we were on the topic of hockey, I wanted to talk about that. And now we will switch to our sport, the one everybody knows us for and loves talking about.
Lacrosse.
Baseball.
Oh.
Let's do some start of the season awards. What's up?
By the way, I want to say, we should say, rest in peace, Octavio Dotel.
See.
And the people affected out there in the Dominican Republic.
So, was it an earthquake?
I wish I did more research on that, but I do know that I believe a roof collapsed.
Yeah, I know a roof collapsed on him, and by the time they got him to the hospital, he unfortunately was not able to pull through. But yeah, rest in peace, Octavio Dotel. I know he had a long MLB career, many teams.
And definitely quite the resume with plenty of franchises.
There's a good shot, if you're listening right now, that he played for your team.
Yeah, I think he played for 13, 14 major league teams.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Let me just check, because I think it was half the league.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
It was definitely up there. Around half the league.
Let's see.
But yeah, Octavio Dotel and 50-plus, rest in peace, by the way. Those two affected, we're sending out prayers to you guys. Hopefully you guys can overcome this tough time in your lives.
Yeah, I'm not exactly... I knew the roof collapse was the reason, but I did not know it affected more people. Mm-hmm. I thought it might have just been like his own house kind of thing. He played for 13.
Yeah.
I was really hoping it was half the league. Yeah. But rest in peace, and prayers to his family and friends. But we are going to go and talk about the 2025 season now. Well, let's do start of the season awards. So from opening day till right now, let's hand out both MVPs and Cy Youngs. We are going to have different answers. We could have the same answer. My AL MVP, Willier Abreu.
Mm-hmm.
He is hitting. He's not at the top of the home run leaders, but he's hit enough home runs to convince me. He has a very high batting average. He is up there top five in OPS, and he's got the RBIs to go with it. There are other candidates who could be the American League MVP, like Tyler Soderstrom, who's been very underrated.
For the Athletics, very great, yeah. Mm. I think he has six home runs, five home runs.
Yeah, he's tied with Judge at six, and that's my other one that I considered was Judge. But, you know, since we're so early on and nobody's really a runaway winner yet, let's give it to Willier Abreu.
Yeah, I like that. I like how these awards, literally anybody can get it just because we're in the first handful of weeks in the season. Yeah. For my AL MVP, kind of obvious, but I did go with Aaron Judge, you know.
Ah, see this guy. I like how we can have so many cool answers, but I'm going to go with the obvious one.
Yeah, just wait till you hear my names here. For American League, like I said, I have Aaron Judge MVP. He's hitting 341, six homers, 18 RBIs, 1.249 OPS. I'm pretty sure he's up there top five as well for OPS. Aaron Judge, obviously the Yankees put on a killing against the Brewers to open up the season, and then he didn't stop there. He continued to mash. And
so, fun fact, Aaron Judge is actually sixth in OPS. But you know who's above them? Tyler Soderstrom and Willie Urbrey.
Yeah, but I definitely got Aaron Judge because, I mean, the Yankees, I believe, I don't think they're winning the division for sure, but he's definitely produced a lot for offense for that team. So
yeah, a big thing for me is average. I'm a big average guy. That plays a lot for me. It means you're getting on base, you're getting hits. And Willier was one of three. Well, and if you only count the American League, one of two players that had an over 400 average. And like I said, he's top two in OPS. Doesn't have the home run numbers, but when you're just being an overall hitter, the home runs don't have to carry you. So there's our American League MVPs. Our National League MVPs, this one was a little tougher.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was looking at these names.
Yeah.
I was trying to put up a case for each guy that came into consideration, and I found my guy, but it was definitely tougher.
Yeah, I went with Kyle Tucker, who has in the past been in a MVP race. He could honestly win it this year, but he is up there in home runs. He's up there in RBIs. He is hitting above 300, which, you know, to me is like, if you're hitting above 300, you're doing great.
Right.
And combined with his average in the home runs and the RBIs, he kind of has all three in the top portion. And compared to other players who don't really have all three, they're kind of below Kyle Tucker with all three. And OPS, Kyle Tucker second. So Kyle Tucker is my National League MVP.
I also went with a Kyle. Kyle Schwarber.
He's number one in OPS.
Yeah, Kyle Schwarber, I have him like a 1.243 OPS for the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely crushed it. I believe they played against the Rockies to start the season, and it didn't stop there, like I said, for Judge. Yeah. But for Schwarber, he's hitting .324, 5 home runs, 11 RBIs. Mm-hmm. He's definitely producing for the Phillies, and that's why the Phillies, I believe, beat the Dodgers early in the season. Beat them 2-1
first in the series the Dodgers lost.
Yeah, first game and first series that they lost for the Dodgers. So,
and you know what team hasn't lost a series? The Halos.
You know, no big deal, even though I don't play on the team.
Yep.
But but yeah.
But we pay for those contracts.
Exactly.
So we're a we over here.
Exactly. It's a it's a team effort.
Exactly. I do my part by buying my souvenir cup.
And I buy nachos.
And the tickets.
And the parking.
Yeah. So we pay your contracts.
So you're welcome.
Artie signs the contracts with the money that we paid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to, like I said, Schwarber, that's the reason also. I believe the Phillies are in first place in the NL East. And no, they're actually not. They're half a game back. As of now, they are half a game back.
Behind
the Mets.
Who?
The Mets.
The Mets, okay.
Yep.
I was going to say, not the Nats.
Yeah, no, not the Nats.
Not the Marlins.
Not the Braves.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The Braves. If there's a team you want to talk about that is doing the complete opposite of what everybody expects them to do, it is the Atlanta Braves. Last I checked, 1-8.
They're now 2-8.
Oh, they got another win.
Exactly. As of today, Tuesday, they are 2-8. So
wow.
Just got to hope for, you know, Acuña and Strider to help out that team, and then who knows.
Well, and Schwellenbach?
Spencer Schwellenbach.
Yes, yeah. He's off to a hot start as well.
Yeah. He's one of my considerations for NL Cy Young, but did I pick him?
I didn't. So let's move to NL Cy Young then. I chose Zach Wheeler. He has always been in this conversation, but yet he has never come away with the award. Could be his year. He is undefeated with wins, losses. He is one of the top ERA getters, and he has some of the most innings. And to me, that's important. That's something that gets overlooked. If you're not pitching into the games long, you're only pitching like five, like I feel like you're not as dominant. And if you can go longer and your ERA is still low, that means you're pitching longer, making it easier on your bullpen, and you're shutting them down. That's more dominance. That's more top pitcher. That's more Cy Young. So I got Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, Wheeler, great pitcher, obviously. He's the ace for the Phillies. Schwellenbach, literally top three of who I was debating on.
Another guy I want to shout out is Mackenzie Gore.
Mackenzie Gore
has been crazy. Zach Wheeler is also tied for first in strikeouts. I want to add that. I am a big guy for strikeouts being a part of the conversation as well.
Yeah, Mackenzie Gore had that 14 strikeout game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and against the Phillies, by the way.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I actually saw Mackenzie Gore pitch against the Phillies when I went to Philadelphia. So he pitched really good. I think he only gave up one, two earned runs.
You think he gets moved this trade deadline? I think he does.
How many more years of control does he have? That's the
I
question.
I don't know.
Yeah. So
it could be a Tariq Skubal situation all over again.
Yeah. I would say next year.
Okay.
I would definitely say next year because
he keeps pitching like this. He won't be a National for life.
Yeah. But he was part of the Juan Soto trade.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think next year he gets moved. Mm. But this year he's definitely making a strong point for, you know, early Cy Young candidate.
Yep.
But I chose Hunter Green.
Hunter Green's also mixed in there, yeah.
Hunter Green, SoCal kid, you know. He was riddled with injuries at the end of last season. Definitely would have made a case for Cy Young. Logan Webb is someone who has to have thought and put into consideration, but I decided to go with Hunter Green. 20 and two-thirds inning pitched. 1.31 ERA. 23 strikeouts, and he has a whip of 0.63. Mm-hmm. So, Hunter Green, obviously, he had that fantastic game of 8 2/3. Mm-hmm. Didn't give up a run. I think 4 hits allowed. Strikeout numbers are definitely up to start the season. You would think a guy that throws like that nasty and throws hard would get a lot more strikeouts.
Yeah.
Chris Rose pointed it out, too, on the podcast he does with Plouf. But, yeah, for me, for right now, a Cy Young winner for the NL, I definitely give it to Hunter Green.
Okay. Well, AL, I have a lefty by the name of Garrett Crochet.
I've heard of him.
Yes, he just got to the Red Sox, and I believe he is going to run away with the award. I'm giving it to him from now, from opening day to now. I'd say he'd win the award. He is in the ERAs of 1.4, I believe. Yes, 1.45. He is dominant. He goes long in the games. He strikes out batters. So that's who I got for AL Cy Young.
For me, Crochet. Great name. Mm-hmm. Signed that extension not too long ago. He got paid. He got the bag.
He got on a team where he can actually, his talents will actually mean something because the White Sox, all the other days he didn't pitch, it led to L's almost guaranteed.
Yeah. Crochet, like obviously one of the favorites to win Cy Young, betting sports books. But I decided to go with Chris Bassitt. He's pitched two games so far this season, and then both games, 12 2/3. He did give up 12 hits, so obviously he has to bring that down. But he's only given up one earned run. So he has an ERA of 0.71 with 16 punchies.
Okay.
So Chris Bassitt for the Blue Jays, he's definitely wheeling and dealing right now.
Yeah.
If there was an AL Cy Young Award ceremony tomorrow, my opinion, I think he gets it.
Okay. And we could have included Rookie in the Year. I didn't because it's harder to research and break down. But I'm pretty sure he is a rookie, Kyron Paris.
I believe his rookie card was last year.
Rookie card, but you know, it's weird. Like, if you get caught up in the last month or something, they let it carry over to the next year. If he's considered a rookie this year, I hope Kyron Paris would come away with Rookie of the Year. He has been so good to start the year. He is getting hits. He's hitting it out, and he's coming up clutch. So, Kyron Paris, if you have contention for Rookie of the Year, I think Cap is looking it up. What do we got? Anything?
Yeah, it looks like he was. They considered him a rookie last year.
Damn,
because it says here on his baseball reference, it says exceeded rookie limits during 2024 season.
Damn, when did he get called up?
I want to say he technically. It says here he played in 2023 for the Angels. Played 15 games. Then last year he played 21 games, and then this year obviously he's played 8.
Yeah, because this will be his first full season.
If he continues to play and start, yes.
Yeah.
Depending on what Ron Washington is feeling.
Yes. Well, we don't have any effect of what Ron Washington's going to do. But Ron, if you're listening, I know you are.
A big fan of the pod.
Yeah. This is what I would do because I know Zach Neto's coming back like next week. So Zach Neto comes back. He gets shortstop, as he should. It's his position. And Tim Anderson, you've had your time. You have not really shown us much. So I think you'll be a nice bench bat, a nice substitution fielder, and we give second base to Kyron Paris. I think that's how it should be.
Yeah, Kyron Paris should definitely play second.
Renjifo to third.
Exactly. Renjifo, Makata, depending who plays better. But right now,
Makata
I would
bench bat.
Well, I mean, he definitely was a solid player when he was a prospect for the Red Sox and then played there for the White Sox.
6 years ago?
hey, just give him time to bloom. Look at Profar. It only took a decade.
And then what happened?
He had a little incident, I heard.
Uh-huh. A little pregnancy hormone or whatever he was using. Yeah, I think that's how we should roll out our field once Neto gets back. And I'm hoping, me and Cap are both hoping, and it's not looking likely, By the way, Pirates. Yeah.
Sorry, before we move on, the Angels. I definitely want Kyren Paris to play somewhere. If it means outfield, I would like it.
Yeah, anywhere in the field.
And Christian Moore playing second, at least by next season.
Because of Christian Moore. Yeah, that's true.
That like I said, Christian Moore, I think he's probably, just based on looks, opinion-based, I think he should be playing second.
Yeah.
If Kyren Paris has to play left field, because Taylor Ward's going to be gone soon.
My opinion. Well, yeah, okay, if Taylor Ward leaves, then that solves everything.
Or gets traded.
Move Kyren to center, put left, Joe in left somewhere. Or whatever.
Exactly. Find a way for him to play.
But let's say Taylor Ward's still there, okay? And let's say Christian Moore gets called up and the team is exactly the same as it is right now. Here's what I'm doing. Joe, you've had your time. You can go to the bench because you've had plenty of opportunities for many years now. Kyren's in center. Ward is in left. Christian Moore's at second. Neto's at short. Rengifo's at third. Well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't. Adele, I think this is also his walk year.
That's fine.
So, I don't know. I remember years ago there was rumors of us trading Adele for Shane Bieber.
Oh, when he had a lot of hype.
Yeah, potential. Yeah, I remember that. But, yeah, I don't know if there's really much any room for him anymore. But if our outfield is thin, sign him another year and then we'll see from there. But, Kyren Paris, I think, is free agent eligible, I think, in 28.
Okay.
So, obviously, if it means keep having a young guy play instead of, like, signing Joe Doug for, like, $4
million or something. Kyren Paris has already shown me there's a light with him. There's potential with him. Joe?
He's had time. He's had plenty of time.
I never saw that light ever with him where I was like, this guy needs an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, hey, you're here because we have a spot.
And plus, we have a lot invested in him. So.
Yeah.
He was our first round pick in 2017.
Yeah, everyone thought he was going to be the next Trout. It's a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
But, so we've given him every opportunity to shine, and he's been in the lineup. He's had a spot. He's had somewhere to play, and it's never really gotten to the potential we've all expected.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it gets to that, and Kyren or you – I'm sorry, Kyren is showing me glimpses of, like, this could be something. So, Kyren, we need you, buddy. And we're going to always have a spot for you somewhere.
Yeah, hopefully he keeps it up. Like I said, does and I hope Joe Adell does find it as well, because obviously a fan favorite of the Angels and the Angel fan base.
He's a great guy. I've met him multiple times.
Exactly.
I have nothing bad to say about his personality. And he did have one of his best years last year. He was a 20-homer guy, batted 240, I believe. And so everyone knows it's there, but, like, who can bring it out of him? I hate to say it, but, you know, if he signed with the Dodgers, he'd probably be, like, a 280 hitter, because it seems like no matter who the Dodgers grab, they turn them to gold. So.
Yeah, like, look at Max Muncy, one of the more famous examples.
No, literally. Michael Conforto is probably going to have a career year this year. Just watch.
Yeah, Teoscar, who's obviously shown power before, like, it was just amplified when he was in L.A., and he continues to power surge.
Yep. Course. And speaking of our Angels, we finally had our opening day. If you guys didn't know this fun fact, our first 18 games, okay, got it, 18 games, you got the number in your head,
1-8,
15 of those 18 are on the road. The schedule makers really said, hey, we got to get their home stand in. Do we have to send them home? The Dodgers play there, we need them to be there. They're like, oh, fine, get it out of the way, but then throw them back on the road immediately.
Yeah, we were originally supposed to be playing at home past that opening series at home against the Guardians, but unfortunately, because of what happened in Tampa, there was a scheduling change where the Angels and MLB agreed to have the Angels play in Tampa early in April instead of waiting until August. So, like I said, it's just unfortunate, but at least they're getting it out of the way. And could be a blessing in disguise because, you know, those guys are bonding early, you know.
That's true. I'd rather be on the road at the beginning of the season and be able to have the fans and the home base at the end of the season for a run, if there is one. But, yeah, obviously everyone knows Tropicana Field, the Dome, got destroyed by the hurricane. And if you look at the Rays schedule, it's kind of the opposite of us. They have a lot of home games to start the season because nobody's going to be dying from all the humidity yet. So they're like, hey, while you guys still got some, like, somewhat cool weather, we're going to stack you with home games. And I think they said after us, they go on the road and then they come back for 13 straight home games.
Yeah.
So
the Angels,
that's
right?
That's crazy.
Angels do have, like, I think two series on the road in May.
Mm-hmm. We have the Padres. We go to San Diego.
Oh, yeah, look at that. We got three straight series beginning in May.
They're all California-based, though. Padres, Dodgers, A's.
Oh, so they don't even got to travel far.
No, not at all.
But, yeah, three straight series to start the month at home.
Well, we have – oh, yeah, I was going to say, we have three straight home series.
Yeah.
And Tigers, then, Blue Jays, Orioles.
And then three straight road series.
Yeah. And then back-to-back home. But,
yeah.
With Marlins
and Yankees. A normal schedule.
Yeah.
But and we're doing really good, though.
We are. We're 7-3 now, I think.
Yeah. Right? The Angels just
– beat the Rays.
And when I mean barely.
Yeah. Stressful barely game, beat which the has Rays. Been a lot of our wins this year.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of one-run games.
Mm-hmm. 1-0 against the White Sox. 3-2 against the White Sox. Extra innings against the Cardinals. Another one that was back and forth. Guardians, we clapped in the wins.
Yeah. We took the series
at
the end.
And then this Rays game that just finished as we're filming.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The last two innings, Trout with that mishap.
Kenley in the ninth. Oh, my God.
Well, give me a hard two time. Runners to start the inning. And then Brock Burke, by the way, what a job clutched. He did. After that Trout mishap in right field with the leadoff triple, Brock Burke just shut the door on them and kept it tied 3-3.
Anyways, our three home games that we had, our home opener, we were there.
We were there. Yes. That's right. Friday night under the lights.
Mm-hmm.
April 4th.
Against the Guardians, April 4th. For us on the mound, we had Jose Soriano, who had a great start on the road to start the year. Did okay in this home start.
Yeah, I would definitely say okay. Maybe jitters got the best of him.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Ramirez got the best of him.
Oh, yeah. You take Jose Ramirez out of that lineup, we win.
Oh, yeah. The fact that he drove in half of his team's runs.
He had four RBIs, I think.
Yeah,
and we lost
half of his team's runs.
Yeah, and we lost 8-6, it would have been 6-4. But what are you going to do? It's Jose Ramirez, man. And it was weird with Jose Soriano. He would give up the home runs, but then, like, everybody else he would dominate. Like, he'd give up maybe an RBI single, something else, to the other batters. And he would have been an okay start without Jose Ramirez in that lineup. But pre the actual game, the Angels every year do a red carpet event.
That's right. They've been doing it for, like, 2 years now?
Five, isn't this, like, I've done three.
Oh, well.
So I think it might be 4 years. But it's cool. They do it way before game time, way before the gates open. They basically have a huge red carpet out of the home plate gate. Players walk out like three at a time. They sign autographs, take pictures, they do interviews, and they have all these other tents around the red carpet. You're able to see the World Series trophy, which Ty Guy and I did. I was actually very happy Ty Guy went with me because I think all the red carpets prior to this one, I always went by myself.
Well,
because it's always during when people work.
So. Yeah, well, yeah, usually it's on a Friday.
Yeah.
When we have our home opener, and it starts at noon. At least that's what they say. I think you got a little upset when you told me that.
Dude, they didn't have anyone come out till like 12:40. It was ridiculous.
And plus with the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, they started that, and then we took a picture with the World Series trophy. And we're like, oh, yeah, nice, our one and only. And then we did a little more investigating of the other tents. And we come back after we've wrapped around. And I see two people sitting at the World Series trophy. And I'm like, oh, that guy's wearing a Mark Trumbo jersey. Cool. You don't see that much around here. And then I'm like, oh, that's Mark Trumbo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and now they were taking pictures with people taking pictures with the trophy. And I'm like, hey, can we get a refund? Like, when we were in line, they weren't here.
Yeah.
And so I was a little, like, upset about that. I was like, damn, I wish he was in my photo. Like, him and Adam Kennedy were taking pictures together. And so you got to do that. Ran into a ton of fans. It was always cool. I always loved doing it. And then we went in for game time, said hi to Mike, the best usher in the stadium, along with Greg. They're like 1A and 1B. They're both amazing ushers. They're great friends of the channel. And then we already talked about the game. We went down early. How'd we go down? Oh, it was a Jose Ramirez solo home run.
To get the game started, basically.
Yeah, and then Mike Trout had one of his own. He responded, which also doinked Lane Thomas on the head. And then we actually got up with some confidence. It was like 4-2. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm feeling good. Like, based off our road start, like, we did okay. We got a 2-run lead right now. I'm feeling all right. And then I don't remember how they got the lead back. Was it another Jose Ramirez?
I think it was a 2-run shot by Jose Ramirez. Yeah, that second home run. After that home run, then he struck out.
Yep.
And then he didn't strike out on that slider. He remembered that slider, and he took it to right.
Yep. And then after that, they were able to get the lead. And then we, of course, like we always do, we show a little bit of fight. Like we're going to do it. And then we don't. Yeah. And he had to hit one more home run to add a little more hurt to the game. But by the time I hit it, I watched it fly. I turn, I look at the board to see who it is. And I'm like, it was Jose Ramirez. That's his third of the game. And Ty Guy's like, that's his third? I'm like, that was him. And then, so at least we saw a 3-homer game, which is not the only 3-homer game I've seen in that stadium. I've also seen Mookie Betts do it, but I've never seen an Angel do it.
Yeah, it's tough seeing, obviously, your favorite team lose. Mm-hmm. But Jose Ramirez, like, he had a great game that day. You obviously can't take nothing away from him. The best player on the Guardians, hands down.
Easily.
But, it was literally a mixture of, you know, great hitting by the Guardians, a.k.a. J-Ram, and then bad execution by the Angels. I think when I saw the game end, the Angels left 11 runners on base.
Yeah,
it might have been more at the end, but by the eighth
inning, Adell had 2 bases loaded spots.
Yeah.
He came through on one of them, I think. I think I had the RBI single.
One of them, he chased an outside fastball. Mm-hmm. That one I did remember because I told my dad, like, let me see where that pitch was because obviously I'm on third base side. I'm trying to see where he was because he reached for it, but I didn't know how far it was. It was pretty far off.
Hey, Joe.
And then
we live and we learn.
Yeah, and not only that, but that Moncada defense, that was a little scary too. Unfortunate.
Yeah,
that first play, he definitely should have had, I feel like, unless that ball was playing tricks on him or something.
Yeah.
That second one, though, I'm not really going to take away too much from that because it was a scorcher and it hit off his tip. Get a better tip.
Get a better one.
And, that, like I said, that one I'm not really going to put too much blame on because it was literally, like, probably, 105 off the bat if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But, it was just unfortunate. Then he got taken out of the game along with Renjifo. He got taken out of the game early, too. Mm. And then Zephyr John was taken out after, I think, 10 pitches.
Which is funny because they're all good.
Yeah, no. They all three of them. No, Moncada didn't play. That's a lie. But
Moncada might not be playing just because he's Moncada.
Yeah, well,
like we got better players right now.
Yeah, from what I heard, Zephyr John had the hamstring tightness. Mm-hmm. I think Renjifo had the other one, the other hamstring, and then Moncada was right thumb irritation, or I'm probably getting the two confused between Moncada and Renjifo, but they both came out during the game with injuries.
Yeah, just rub some dirt on it. They're all going to be fine.
And Renjifo played, and he got the game-winning RBI.
And I'm looking at the standings right now. We are 7-3, like we mentioned earlier, and I wanted to see where that stacks us with everybody else. Only one other team is really kind of giving us trouble right now.
The Rangers.
Yep. 8-4.
Yeah, I was. They're playing against the Cubs right now. I believe the Cubs shut them out last night, Monday night.
Beautiful.
7-0. But today they're putting up a fight, last I checked. Last I checked, it was around like the 7th inning. They were losing, I think, 6-5. The game right now has to be over, if I had to guess. Yeah, the Cubs won.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for it.
Cubs won.
I wasn't able to. Oh, there it is. Yeah, 10-6.
10-6. So that means we're still one game back? No, half a game.
No, we're up. We're up right now because we don't have as many losses.
We're 7-3, but the Rangers are 8-4.
8-4.
Okay.
And then everybody else is negative in the division. So that's good for us. And hopefully another thing that will be good for us and falls in our favor, I hope, but based on Cap's research, it's not looking likely. The Pirates are coming to town.
Yeah.
I've never seen Paul Skenes pitch. He's never seen Paul Skenes pitch. Yes, in person. Duh.
Well, because we've seen it on our phones.
Well, yeah, duh. We've never seen him in person.
That's true.
Sorry, I'll be specific around this guy.
Well, I'm sorry. You're going to tell me that I'm wrong?
Yeah, I haven't seen him in person.
Well, you originally...
I've never seen him pitch.
It. In person.
Not this guy.
Anyway. Yeah, based on the way that the Pirates are using their pitchers in this season, from what I've seen, is if they have a long stretch of games without a day off, they're using 6 men in the rotation. And just recently, they had a day off, and Paul Skenes pitched on a normal 5-man rotation. Mm-hmm. Whether it's 5 or 6.
He pitched today.
He did pitch. against the Cardinals. It's going to be really tough. He's either projected to pitch.
Ooh, and they lost.
Ooh.
And Skeens got the loss.
That's tough.
So it was Skeens' fault. It wasn't even like the bullpen or something.
What was the score?
5-3. His ERA went from 1 to almost 3.5.
Well, it's still early in the season.
Yes, it is.
Plenty of room to work that out. But, yeah, it's going to be really tough. Skeens may be pitching either on Tuesday or Thursday, depending on how many pitchers they use. But more than likely, he's going to be pitching Friday, from what it looks like, against the Dodgers in L.A. Like,
I can still go to L.A.
Yeah, but...
But the tickets are going to be more expensive. The parking's going to be more expensive.
The drive is going to be longer.
Anaheim, please.
It's literally just across the street from us, basically.
Please, bro. There's 3 games, bro, and you're telling me he's going to miss it? Ugh, I don't want to drive to L.A.
Yeah, so I'm also hoping he pitches here.
Same.
In Orange County and not L.A. County.
Yep.
But I don't think I'm going to go to L.A. I might.
I probably will.
I might, but...
I'd way rather it be in Anaheim, but... I really want to see him pitch.
And plus, it's coming back from Mania, the week coming back from Mania.
Oh, it is.
So these next couple weeks are going to be...
At least it would be a buffer zone, though, because, you know, Mania. And then if he doesn't pitch all of this, then I'm not doing anything. But if he does, then I'm doing something here. But, yeah, if he doesn't pitch till Friday, then I'm basically chilling all these days.
Yeah, so let's just hope it's in the week and not on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I definitely love to see Skeens pitch.
Oh, wait, I can't go. Because Tony Todd wants me to go to San Diego on the 25th.
And then I think you're busy on Wednesday, I believe, as
this
well.
This Wednesday?
Yeah.
Really? I'm busy tomorrow, if that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm thinking of the wrong Wednesday.
Yeah, we're on this Wednesday all the way up here.
Oh, so that's 2 weeks away. All right, never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine.
You're good. But, yeah, like I said, I hope Skeens pitches. I definitely want to sit behind home plate at Angel Stadium, not at Dodger Stadium, where tickets are going to be like $700 behind home.
Yep.
And it's like $200 for nosebleeds.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you all very much for tuning into the podcast. That is all for today. Next week will be a big wrestling episode. We will be talking a lot about an event I'm actually going to be a referee in 2 days. So that will have happened. We will be talking about WrestleMania, the hype building up to it, because we're literally filming the podcast and leaving for WrestleMania like 2 days later.
We'll definitely go over predictions. Who we think is going to win.
Yep. And then there's another wrestling event that I'll be going to in like 3 weeks or something like that we will announce next episode.
That's right. So stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Yes. Thank you all for subscribing, following, liking, sharing with friends and family. You can have the audio version in your ears on Spotify and Apple Thursdays at 7 a.m.
You can get the YouTube version, the video version of the podcast Fridays, same time at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern.
Mm-hmm. And we will see all of you, beautiful benchwarmers, in episode 105.
Adios.